From Redeemer Broadcasting, this is Holding All Things Together for this third weekend in March. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. Most people recognize that the manipulation of an election outcome is something that happens far more often than is reported. It's been said that a large part of the voter apathy in New York State, for example, and in our country as a whole, stems from people feeling like their vote doesn't count. So why bother voting? An oft-overlooked method of controlling an election outcome is known as gerrymandering. This comes about when voting districts are redrawn, and those people who are in charge of redrawing them do so in a way that groups voters of one political party into the district, which then makes it very likely that one political party will win the district, whereby making it almost impossible for the other party to win. A freshly released SCOTUS decision smacked down the Democrats' brazen attempt to remove the only Republican member of Congress that represents part of New York City, Representative Nicole Malliotakis, by redrawing her congressional district. The case, Malliotakis versus Williams, was decided on March 2, 2026. Here to talk about the case is attorney Bobby Ann Cox.
Where the United States Supreme Court held in favor of the Republicans, you know, Nicole Malliotakis and her other plaintiffs, and ruled against the Democrats who brought this lawsuit and said it's not the final decision, but as of right now, that decision from SCOTUS last week says they cannot redistrict her specific congressional district before the 2026 election, which is this November.
Also ahead, Pastor Bill Shisko discusses the question, are all transgressions of the law equally heinous? Later in the program, writer Jerry Wiss turns to Romans 13, where the apostle provides guidance on the role of civil authorities and how we ought to respond to their enforcement of the law, precisely opposite of what protesters have been doing in Minneapolis. Finally, we'll take another look at this week in history. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
Today, we're dealing with what I think is one of the most practical questions regarding life before God that's given in the form of sound doctrine that we're using, the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And we're on question 83. Are all transgressions, a transgression is crossing the line, are all transgressions of the law equally heinous? And the answer is, some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. Heinous is a really bad word. It's a good word about very bad things. Heinous means really, really bad. Now, what's the proof that some sins in themselves and by reason of their several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others? Well, I would invite you to read in your Bibles. We won't read it because it's a rather lengthy passage, but you can look at it yourself. Read in your Bibles Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 24. Jesus deals with wicked places, but some that are more wicked than others. Now, we're not talking about mortal versus venial sins, as is taught in the Roman Catholic Church. Next week, you'll see that that's not a correct distinction. We're dealing with some sins in themselves. Let me give you an illustration. I can't imagine people who just kill animals wantonly, cruelty to animals. Can't imagine that. And we are to have the righteous person does have concern for his pets, his animals. Well, that's bad. But if you kill a person, that's even worse because you're destroying image of God. That actually is punishable by death. Now, if you killed the president as a person, that's even worse because of his office. So some sins in themselves are more heinous in the sight of God than others, and by several aggravations, sinning against light, When you know something is wrong and you sin against it, that's more serious. The sin of a stiff neck, a rebellious heart, a cold heart, not listening, is worse than a sin of ignorance. Paul was counted worthy to enter the ministry as a zealous man because even when he was responsible for persecuting Christians, he did it in his ignorance. Well, that's the point. But for our purposes today, with all sin, you come to Christ. Never take sin lightly, and you are always coming to Jesus, where there is a cure for sin in the blood of the Lamb.
On the Zoom line with us today is attorney Bobby Ann Cox. Bobby Ann, it's wonderful to have you back with us. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you because you're here in New York State. There's not many lawyers like you, and you're fighting for our constitutional rights in New York State, and I appreciate what you guys are doing there. You recently wrote an article titled "Election Fraud Stopped, Dead in Its Tracks." That caught my attention because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's lots of election fraud, particularly in New York State as well as other states. Can you tell us what your article is about?
Sure, yes. So that article you're referring to, I wrote on my Substack, and it is a rather comprehensive history of the redistricting attempts in New York State. And I categorize redistricting as one of the categories of election fraud possibilities because the redistricting that's done in particularly in New York State over the past few years has been with the intent of gerrymandering. And for anybody that's not familiar with what that is, gerrymandering is when you redraw a district, a voting district, and you draw the lines in such a way that it is obvious that you are trying to favor one political party over another. And so the gerrymandering districts then results in people having their votes skewed because if you are in a district that was drawn illegally and with the intent of favoring one party over the other, then the votes of the party that is not favored in the drawing of that district are going to be drowned out. So, and in New York State, they have tried over the past several years, they have tried three times to redistrict illegally. And so this is the crux of the article that I wrote.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So what was the outcome as you looked into this and you fought on our behalf, on behalf of honest people? What was the outcome?
Well, so it goes back to, you know, the way that the Constitution's written in New York State, it says that you can redistrict every 10 years, and it's once every 10 years, and it's in coordination with the census. So we have a census done. The last one was done 2020. And so then you would redraw the district lines in accordance with that census, because the census tells you how many people are living in New York and where they are populated, you know, where they are living. So in 2021, when they were redrawing the maps in accordance with the census, the Democrats who control New York State, and so people understand, because this is key, we have one party rule in New York State, meaning only one political party governs the entire state. And that is since 2019, that has been the case here in New York. So for 7 years now, only the Democrat Party has a say in what happens in New York State and how it happens. So they are in complete control. They control the New York State Senate, the New York State Assembly, the governor's mansion. They control the attorney general's office. And they also have complete control in New York City, which is our largest city by far. in New York State, with about 8 million or so people living in New York City. And they control, you know, the mayorship, the city council, and the district attorney's office. So it is really one party rule on steroids, which is very dangerous for the voters and for the people, the citizens of New York. But so they did the redrawing of the maps in 2021, and the districts they redrew were so badly gerrymandered. The Republicans sued, and the court ended up striking down the map and saying that this is so obviously gerrymandered and done illegally that we are tossing out these maps. They cannot be used. And the court appointed an independent special master, somebody not even from New York State. And that person drew congressional maps for New York State in an unbiased manner. And then we had the 2022 congressional elections. And if you recall, at the time, the Democrats controlled the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. And because of those redrawn, unbiased maps in New York State, the Republicans flipped five seats from Democrat-held to Republican-held, whereby causing the Republicans to get control of the House of Representatives in 2022. So the Democrats were not very happy with that. So then in 2023 and 2024, they tried to redistrict and redraw the maps again. They came up with a ridiculous argument about the first case, the first lawsuit that resulted in the special master drawing the maps. And the state's highest court, the Court of Appeals here in New York State, ended up favoring the Democrats in that lawsuit. So even though it was completely unconstitutional, because our Constitution says once every 10 years is when you redistrict, not a couple times every 10 years. So they illegally told the Democrats, yeah, sure, you can redraw those maps, no problem. So in 2023 into 2024 is when I started getting into the redistricting saga. Battle, if you will. Former Congressman Lee Zeldin and I, he's now the head of the EPA, but at the time he was a former congressman, we teamed up and we started a large PR campaign against this illegal redrawing of the congressional maps, and we were successful. We were able to stop the Democrats from redrawing and gerrymandering the maps again. And then all of a sudden, we see last year in 2025, the Democrats are at it again. And now they're attacking specifically the only Republican-held congressional district in New York City, which is currently held by Congresswoman Nicole Maliotakis. And they brought a lawsuit to claim that her district is illegal because it is not representative of the minority population living in her district. Meanwhile, Nicole Maliotakis is a minority herself. She's Hispanic. And anyway, so now we see this. This went up to the United States Supreme Court, and my article gets in depth on the conclusion where the United States Supreme Court held in favor of the Republicans, you know, Nicole Maliotakis and her other plaintiffs, and ruled against the Democrats who brought this lawsuit, and said it's not the final decision, but as of right now, that decision from SCOTUS last week says they cannot redistrict her specific congressional district before the 2026 election, which is this November. So they basically put a freeze on the lower court, the state court decision. This is now the third time they are trying to redistrict within the same decade. And it's unbelievable how brazen the Democrats have become in New York State.
Yeah, right. Well, I live here. You do, too. And it's not a lot of fun. Our kids also live here. You know, they're grown now. They have children of their own. But quite often the topic comes up, I can't stand New York anymore, you know, and our kids will be telling us to that effect, you know, where are we going to move to? But, you know, I've been here, my family's been here since, I think it's since 1667, so we've been here kind of a pretty long time, got our roots down, and we know how the place works, and I'm not so prone to move out of it. But it's crazy. You almost feel like you're living in another country, depending on what town or what city you go to. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how would they go about doing that, Bobby?
Yeah, so if people want more information about this redistricting case, or they just want to follow my work and see what other topics I write on and speak on. They can go to my website, which is coxlawyers.com. So it's coxlawyers.com. And if you click on the media tab there, I have lots of articles and interviews, and some of my public speaking engagements are posted there. And I always speak on various topics, usually constitutionally related. Trying to help people understand what their rights are and what the government can and cannot do. But I also have a Substack, which I mentioned earlier. And if people go to substack.com and they just type in my name, Bobby Ann Cox, my page will pop up. And if you sign up there and add your email to the list, you'll get an email from me once a week with a new article. And every week I do a different topic. Always law related, and most times having to do with constitutional rights and the parameters of the government. So, it's great. It's a great information tool. And I do encourage people to sign up for the Substack, because it's a good way to stay involved and stay up to date on what's going on. I don't just cover New York State issues. I also cover issues on in other states or national. So it's pretty diverse with the topics that I cover. And it's always great to be informed, because, knowledge is power. And the more knowledge you have, the more powerful you can be in defending your rights and the rights of your family and your loved ones.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for what you're doing. You're helping us as citizens of New York State, and also helping the whole country. Attorney Bobby Ann Cox, may God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
The dust seems to have settled in Minneapolis, with state authorities apparently having agreed to let ICE agents access to prisons there to arrest and deport non-U.S. citizens that have committed crimes in the U.S. The comparisons of ICE agents to Nazis, the claims that their assignments are unconstitutional or illegal, and the accusation that they are at war with America are simply false. Today, Jerry Wyss turns to Romans 13, where the apostle provides guidance on the role of civil authorities and how we ought to respond to their enforcement of the law. Precisely opposite of what protesters have been doing in Minneapolis. Jerry is a frequent contributor to Holding All Things Together and is a writer for Christian Renewal magazine.
The dust seems to have settled, at least as far as media reports go, about the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE's, activity in Minnesota, particularly Minneapolis. ICE officers have been called Nazis and the Gestapo, agents of tyranny, and accusations that their enforcement is unconstitutional and illegal have circulated widely. None of this is true. The Nazis occupied other nations as a foreign force, and in their own nation, Germany, they harassed, arrested, and had a hand in the murder of their own citizens. That's not what ICE is doing. forbidding unreasonable searches and seizures applies to U.S. citizens and also may to unlawfully present non-U.S. citizens. But the key word here is unreasonable. Is it unreasonable to search and seize evidence of an unlawfully present non-citizen if it's known that he or she is associated with criminal activity or has committed a crime? Most judges, were they truly objective, would say no. ICE officers can look intimidating. Their faces are covered because they're doxxed and even threatened. They're armed and they wear riot gear. But they're not in cities to harass, arrest, or send to prison or deport U.S. citizens, but unlawfully present non-citizens, especially those who are known to have committed crimes in the U.S. The riots in the streets are not initiated by ICE, but by U.S. citizens trying to impede ICE's job. This, of course, is a recipe for disaster, as we'd already seen, leading to deaths when mindlessly zealous protesters obstruct justice, which is itself a crime. Even aiming automobiles at agents or carrying loaded guns to a protest while fighting with agents. What do you think is going to happen? In Romans 13, we are told that we should not resist governing authorities since they are God-appointed. And if we resist them, we incur judgment. He is God's servant for your good, the apostle writes. And if you do wrong, know that he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's avenger, carrying out God's judgment on the wrongdoer, the apostle writes. Can anything be clearer? And shouldn't it be so for many in Minneapolis who have come from a Christian background and tradition? There is a place for civil disobedience. The apostles refused to stop preaching Christ, though forbidden. People in Europe hid Jews, protecting them from extermination. The Civil War in England and the War for Independence in America were waged because the powers that be abused their God-given authority and power, even going to war with their own people, whom they should have protected instead, which ICE is actually doing. Martin Luther faced down Rome, bringing upon himself the Pope's writ of excommunication because he preferred the truth of Scripture over the mandates and pronouncements of the church that were unscriptural. There is a time and a place to stand one's ground for truth and liberty, but is protecting people, many of them criminals, who have knowingly broken the law, such a stance? Hardly so. Some may say, what about welcoming the stranger and the alien, which Old Testament Israel was to do, being reminded that they too were strangers and aliens in Egypt? Amen, let's welcome them through the already established means of immigration law and control, not by opening our borders unrestrictedly so that anyone can domicile here, including criminals. Minnesota has apparently hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants locked in jails for various crimes to which it now says it'll give ICE access. Although we're told less than 15% of unlawfully present non-citizens have committed violent crimes, which is still a high number, what is not reported is that upwards of another 30% have been indicted for fraud, pornography distribution, drug trafficking, and the like. During the Obama administration, mainstream media reporters rode with ICE agents on assignment, objectively reporting their arrest and deportation of illegally entered non-citizens. Why isn't that happening today?
Time once again for This Week in History. March 12, 1903. Baltimore's Major League Baseball team, the Orioles, are divided up by the ownership. While some end up with the Cleveland Spiders, the rest become part of New York's first American League team, the New York Highlanders. Bowing to fan pressure, the team name will be changed to the Yankees in 1913.
It will be another 50 years before Major League Baseball once again graces the city of Baltimore, and once again as the Orioles. And March 13, 1865. After years of debate, the Confederacy approves the use of black troops in the Confederate Army. Robert E. Lee asks that slaves be freed as a condition of joining, but the legislation does not stipulate that. Several thousand African Americans will fight against the Union before the end of hostilities. That was This Week in History, Events as Man Recorded Them, as God Ordained Them.
Thanks for joining us today for our program. Your comments are always welcome. Our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. A reminder that the views expressed are those of the participants. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Cal Carter.
God willing, see you next week.